You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Welcome to the Cooligans Women's World Cup Daily. I am absolutely thrilled to be here today with a guest. Where, you know, right now we usually see Alexis Guerreros next to me in the box right here. But this time around, we are joined by someone that Alexis and I, we're both huge fans of someone. I mean, literally, one of the hardest working people in the American soccer industry. I mean, if you follow her on social media, that will be very, very clear and very, very apparent. Hello, Megan Reyes. Megan, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm honored to be in Alexis's seat. Maybe I'll take his job.
Okay.
All right. I
wished. Okay. I'm going to need you to be extra loud. All right. You're not at
extra.
You're not at the volume that we are used to for when it comes to Alexis. But absolutely thrilled to be here. And again, welcome everybody to the show. Obviously, Women's World Cup Daily, the Cooligans, we're here every single day. My name is Christian Polanco. Alexis is out for today. He's at a wedding. He's doing his thing. He's having a lovely time. But you know, the work doesn't stop. Okay, and we you and I are both familiar.
We stop for Alexis.
Okay, he's out. He's probably doing the twist or something, or dancing to Suavemente right now, because that's at every single. If you don't have a Suavemente at your wedding, no matter what race or background you are, is it a wedding?
Wrong. You did it wrong.
You're there.
Try again.
But today, Megan is here because, and Megan, do you prefer Meg or Megan? I actually just want to make sure.
Good question. I prefer either.
Okay, cool. All right. So there it is.
It's interchangeable.
It is. She prefers Meg the Stallion. So there we go. Happy to call her by her appropriate name. But Megan, you are, the reason I asked you to join the show is because of Between Two Worlds. It is a documentary podcast that you created about being a Filipino American and kind of just, you know, explaining and introducing, you sort of do two things. Introduce the Filipino national team, the women's national team, to the audience, and also reconnect with your culture, or really do a lot of research in your background being Filipina. So let's start there. As far as the inspiration to start this project, which is amazing, and again, I highly recommend people go check it out. Between Two Worlds. Do that. You know, as soon as this interview is over, go check that out. But yes. Why'd you want to do this?
So, I remember actually this idea came to me. It was like around the holidays, like end of December. I was driving to the Bay Area and I was listening to ESPN 30 for 30's Pink Card podcast, if you've heard of it or listened to it. And I remember in the first episode, the host, I can't remember her name now, Iranian American, grew up in like Reno, I think, first generation American, parents are from Iran. And she kind of explained this, you know, dynamic of growing up in Nevada, like not understanding her culture. I was like, wow, relatable. And then in one of her first episodes, she had a guest that only spoke Farsi and she didn't understand it. So her mom had to be there to translate. And I was thinking, wow, that's so cool. Like, I want to work on a project similar to this, where imagine a world where my mom has to translate Tagalog because I don't understand what the guest is saying. But I didn't know what the project was. I'm like, I don't know what that story is. And then a few minutes later, it hit me. I'm like, wait, there's a story here. Like, the Philippines are going to the World Cup. Like, what story can I tell? And I kind of went back and forth because I thought I could tell the whole journey to the World Cup. But if anyone was that interested, they could just Google the qualification right. process and figure that out. And then through research, when I realized that most of the team are from America, I was like, oh, there's a story here. And it all just kind of unraveled, and it just presented itself in a way where I ran with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the look, I immediately connected with that, especially being Latino. The we have the saying ni de aquí ni de allá, right? Which is and you mentioned it there, that you're neither from here and you're neither from there, and not feeling American enough to your, you know, white friends, and not feeling Filipino enough to your Filipino friends or family. And it's a very very common thing, and you know, it's a thing. I as soon as like, and I want to give props, because in that in the first episode you give you know, kind of you know, you mentioned inspiration by Grant Wall to do this project to begin with, and it's, and for me it was just like, you know, the Dominican Republic just qualified for the Olympics. You know, they qualified for the U-20s and the Olympics, and that was just like, that's just an insane thing for this like Caribbean nation to even make it that far. And it made me be like, yo, why? And it's something I thought of too, of like, damn, why don't I do some kind of project highlighting the Dominican Republic and their soccer program and stuff like that? So, I mean, that's where I'm at. So you put the pressure on me to start to start doing something like that. But I want to ask you about the after completing this project, what is your connection to the Philippines now? I mean, I know you mentioned not speaking the language and things like that. I mean, when you listen to the podcast, you'll hear Megan's background and stuff like that, and it is very fascinating how just a Filipino person ended up in Idaho to begin with. Is always kind of shocking.
But I never explained that one first.
But your connection to it now, where do you sort of stand with being, as far as being Filipino and identifying?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, first, I also just want to say, like, going back to Grant, after I came up, after the pink card inspired me and I realized this is what I wanted to write, I then went and listened to the Freddie Adu story. Yeah. And so when people compliment me on the, I guess, like, the layout of the show, I'm like, I pretty much took Grant.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
No. So shout out Grant. But that's a really great question about where my heritage is at now. And truthfully, I don't think it's changed since writing the show. And there's something special, I think, about that. Where, and if you, oh gosh, I can't give it away because you haven't listened to the last episode.
Oh, okay, so I'm sorry.
So there's something said at the end that just was very validating to me, where I've learned and realized that I can be Filipino in my own definition and in my own right. And whether that means not understanding the language and not liking most of the food and still not having been back home, I now have more acceptance of, like, but I'm still Filipino.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy with that.
Yeah,
that's, but you gotta listen to the, because the last, it's gonna give it away.
Right, right. No, that's fair. I listened to the first three episodes.
Half.
But it's an interesting thing, because I know I grew up in Brooklyn, around a lot of other Dominicans, a lot of other Latinos, and so you know, my parents only spoke Spanish, so I immediately learned. And now, you know, having I have a son, and now it's an interesting thing of like, how much effort am I going to put in? He is not around a lot of other Dominicans. He's not around Hispanic people. So how am I gonna teach him the language? And it's such a it's a difficult. It's a difficult discipline to just like really kind of do that. But I remember being a teenager, and one of my favorite things in the podcast was about like bringing food for you know, to school, and your white friends being like, what that smells weird, why are you eating that? And
what, so the hell is that?
You mentioned, like, I think it was a chicken adobo.
Yes,
it's just so funny. And as soon as you as a teenager, you want to fit in. That's really, that's the job of being a teenager. Nobody thinking you're weird. And so when somebody says, like, hey, your food's weird, you're like, nah. Okay,
what are we? I'm not that kid.
Mom, I need chicken tendies only. Nothing else.
Well, I thought that was interesting when I was going through the process of interviewing, because at first, was brought up with Bianca Verrar when she mentioned it. And I was like, wow, yeah, that happened to me. And then in a later interview with Camille Wilson, she brought it up also. And I literally never asked any pointed questions other than like, what was your experience growing up as a Filipino in America, to get them to both tell me that they got low-key bullied for bringing chicken to school. It's like same. And it's just, I guess it's just part of the common experience for Philans.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, you know, everybody wants to not be the main character on Twitter that day. And in high school and junior high, you just want to be don't be the weirdo.
Right, right. That's that should be one of the classes, right? Like, don't, how to not be a weirdo in high school. I'm also curious about your relationship with your parents. I know you had spoken to your parents, you know, to find people to interview. I know I think it was your dad recommended somebody else, like a professor or somebody to interview. Mm-hmm. But what's your connection with your parents now? Because I know, like, I think about my parents, and as soon as I start asking questions about their past or anything, they're like, "Hey, what are you doing? You a cop?" You know. What's going on? What is the relationship now that you were like, did this project and are making a pointed effort to learn more about your culture?
Well, so like I've said in the show, like Filipino parents are, and this probably isn't unique to the Philippines, but Filipino parents are super proud. So when the show came out, like the day before it came out, my dad was like, Can I send this yet to all my friends? I want to send it to my friends back home. I want to send it to, you know, our family back home. And then with some of the news hits I've done on like BBC and
the Cooligans,
this hasn't come out yet, but the Cooligans, like, I've been asking, like, so have you done any other interviews about the podcast? So like our connect, it's like we're starting to find that connection a little bit. And even my mom, after she listened to it, she in our group text was like, "Oh, I don't know if you know, but I that like mestizo bank that your Tito Jojo was talking about in the history episode, like I used to work for that bank," and things like
that.
I didn't know. But yeah, it's like the more I've been asking and learning, the more they're like offering, which is really cool.
It's a thing that gets me mad about parents, and I'm hoping.
Tell me this,
right? Like this could have changed the trajectory of my entire life. Then to know that you did that thing, you know, like unfortunately, like my father passed away last year. But in going through his like his stuff, you know, I'm like we found his diploma in college, and I did not know that my dad majored in psychology. I had literally, my dad is a mechanic. He was a mechanic his entire life. Did not know he majored in psychology. And then, and I think about it, then I'm like, you know, there would be the occasional time he would like drop a gem. And I'm like, damn, bro, what are you, where'd you get that? I'm like, oh, you studied this, all this stuff. Like, it's so wild because it genuinely would have changed probably, you know, our relationship. So, fascinating stuff. When it comes to immigrant parents, it's a
need to know basis.
Very much so. It's like you don't need to. I got too many warrants back home. I'm not trying.
Don't go digging too deep into that.
So it's like I see this with my mom a lot, where it's like the focus in being in a new country is to kind of like high school. Don't be the weird one. Adapt. Mm-hmm. Adjust. And be as American as possible. Is there any kind of like, I don't know, I guess resentment is not maybe the word, but like you mentioned not speaking the language, not speaking Tagalog. Is it a little bit of like, oh man, why didn't you teach me this kind of a thing?
Specifically with that, yeah, because apparently the story is they tried to teach me and I just was uninterested.
Okay.
Or like didn't really want to learn, or maybe I just was like, knowing me, I was probably like, no.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And so they gave up. And so I do have a little bit of like, child, like your son, if you want to teach your son Spanish at such a young age, he has no choice but to learn. So right. In some ways, I'm like, I was the child. Like, there was no choice there for me, or there should have been no choice there for me. Because my brother, and I mentioned in the show, when my parents first moved to America, they moved to New Orleans in the 80s. And then my brother was born a year later. They were there about 10 years before they moved to Idaho, which we got there because my dad got a job, right. And then never left. And so for those first 10 years or however long, my dad was in grad school. He got his PhD. My mom was working a bunch of jobs. And so it was one of those true, like it took a village. It took all the titos and titas and, you know, lolos and lolas to raise my brother. So being around all of them, he was taught Tagalog. He's not comfortable speaking it. He's not comfortable speaking the language, but he can understand everything. And so, and maybe that's just the difference, like that, you know, like nature nurture thing. When we moved to Idaho, it was just my parents and my brother who doesn't like to speak it. But that's like the one thing I wish I was like, you guys should have pressed harder, because it's like even my parents sometimes, who then did not teach me Tagalog, will sometimes speak to me in Tagalog.
Yeah. You can't, don't start this now. You can't do that. We didn't do the.
I'm 32. My brain says no.
No. You can't skip. You skip the fundamentals, and you're already in the advanced. This is AP Tagalog. We can't do this now.
No, I'm failing. Yeah, the language is like the biggest one, bro. I'm like, now I don't have the patience, to be quite honest.
Have you seen, I'm a big fan of like you know, language learning, like YouTube and TikTok and stuff like that. So I come across a lot of people that are teaching, try to encourage people to learn languages. Have you seen, I don't know if you've seen this it's like a white dude, I think he lives in New York, but he and he speaks Tagalog like fluently. Yes. And he's on like Omegle and talking to people randomly in the Philippines, and they're always absolutely floored that he speaks the language fluently. They're like, "Oh, where are you Filipino?" He's like, "Nah,
I'm not." my name is John.
I just felt like learning it, and it's that, at least for me, that's been because I like definitely like want to learn French and Portuguese. Mm-hmm. And I would love to do interviews with players in these languages, especially there's so many Brazilians and there's so many French speaking players, and so those, like, I want to be that dude who like blows people's minds by knowing a language and never even been to that country. That's just like, it sounds so fun. It's like a superpower.
It is. Well, and especially like in the Philippines, like there's also like a certain, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like, you have to like inflect your voice a certain way too. Like my parents used to always say, like, people that speak Tagalog really well, like it almost sounds like sing-songy. Like have to like speak in a certain way. So it's one thing to know the language, but to then actually also communicate it in such a way
you have to learn the words and also be sing like Mariah Carey or something, like I gotta do both.
And that's why I never learned it.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
Let's talk about the Filipino national team and their win against New Zealand. What were the vibes like? How were you feeling about this result? I mean, honestly, as soon as I saw as soon as the final whistle blew, I'm like, what is Megan Reyes doing right now?
I was at home in a white robe. Telemundo sent me my white World Cup robe, like I was Rick Ross.
Yes.
So, now when the Philippines play next, I have to wear this white robe. And I was just like, I screamed when Serena scored the goal, and mm-hmm. it was like 11 here. So I'm surprised I haven't gotten a noise complaint yet, but I was stressed. Like, that game was incredible. There was a lot of luck that happened in that game, because even Serena's header, it was amazing. And it was also just like kind of bad goalkeeping as well.
I would have said the bad goalkeeper. I mean, for her to get in between the two players and just, I would like legit dunk on him. Three. Yeah. It was pretty impressive. But the goalkeeper, the ball came so like fast and you know.
She like kind of bobbled it.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyways, her goal was incredible. So that was just like the moment of my week. Just, and then the celebration afterwards made me want to cry. And then the best part was, and I don't know enough, and I should, I don't know if this is just his demeanor, but Coach Stajcic was just standing there like.
That's all you giving us?
But I loved it. And so I was stressed. The vibes were immaculate in this house, but I was stressed. And there was, especially towards the end there with the chances New Zealand had and Olivia's saves and everything. But I think that's what's really cool. And if you go back and listen to the show, and I don't even know if I included all the sound bites in it, but when I spoke with Camille specifically, Camille Wilson, who used to play for the national team, and ironically, which makes the story even cooler, now works for U.S. soccer, she was saying just how this team is so gritty, and they fight, and they won't go down without a fight. And I think that's what a lot of people expected out of this team, like, oh, you're first-timers. No one even knows that the Philippines play soccer. Like, I don't think they expected, or most people expected them to really put up the fight that they have the last few games. And so it was just the coolest thing to watch.
Yeah, I mean, more than anything, anytime any country's in a World Cup for the first time, you would imagine there's, like, nerves, anxiety, jitters, and the Philippines do not look like that at all. I mean, it is a, like, we belong here, and it's always great to see that, especially from a team that's there for the first time, because there's some teams that have been there multiple times and don't always play like they belong there. So it was awesome to see. Yeah, it is a, as far as the you know, the feedback, especially after the win. I know you had shared a lot of stuff of you know, watch parties and people going crazy in the Philippines. What is the, what have you, any messages you've received, or any, what's been like the not only the feedback about the show, but about the win, on top of now also having a show and having this sort of great moment in Filipino soccer?
I just, it makes me emotional. I think it's gonna impact the country and sports in general after this campaign. I've getting messages that people's sons are now watching and want to play at the World Cup, which then will only help the men's national team, hopefully. And I saw a tweet yesterday that I think there's watch parties across, like, all the malls in the Philippines, yeah, in Manila on Sunday, that they typically only do for Pacquiao fights. Like, they're now putting the women's national team at a level that they're putting Manny Pacquiao, which is,
yeah,
actually, I mean, really incredible.
That's pretty wild.
So the feedback's awesome. Not only, yeah, just from the show, but they're inspiring people, and that's what they want. I think that's at the end of the day what they want. And what's really cool is in one of my interviews, I asked her, Chandler McDaniel, how she felt about being a role model. And she got all, you know, she's 26, 27. She got all like, oh, that's really weird to think about. I just view myself as a girl who loves to play soccer. And that's just what I'm doing, what I love to do. And if I can inspire someone, I think that's really cool. Because I asked in a way of who her idols were. And she said, you know, Mia Hamm and the 99ers. And so I'm like, so how does it feel to basically be that to the Philippines? And she got a little like, wait, what? I'm, yeah, not Mia Hamm. But I told her, I was like, well, you know, you could also argue, like, if someone asked Mia Hamm this, you know, however many years ago, she probably would have said the same thing. I'm just doing what I love and I'm playing soccer.
Yeah.
And along the way, you're inspiring people. So I think it's cool. Like, people are saying, you know, their sons, it doesn't matter, girl or boy or however you identify, people are now really interested in soccer. So
it's good.
I think they're going to advance on Sunday. That's my very biased opinion. And we'll,
okay,
see how the excitement happens from there.
No, it would be great. I mean, I'm curious about, actually, you mentioned that inspiration. I forgot the player from the Chicago Fire. Was it Alex something?
Alex Moniz.
Moniz, right? So, mm-hmm. Mentioning about what it means that, you know, when the Philippines qualified, him being Filipino American, and maybe the consideration of possibly, mm-hmm, representing the Philippines internationally, which is, yeah, that is like, that's the point. I mean, it's like, it's the Filipino women are strengthening the brand of Filipino soccer overall. Like, that, this is such a great thing, and maybe it could be the beginning.
They are the brand. Like,
I know.
Unfortunately, they are the brand, because the brand has not yet existed.
Right, and I know you meant this is also a big aspect of the show, of like the how unpopular soccer is in the country, and how basketball is really the main thing. Is it? Have you found any? You know, I noticed this when, like, I speak to Dominicans about soccer, right? Because baseball is the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a lot of, I don't know, skepticism or people just like kind of uninterested because you were talking about Filipino soccer? Has that been much of a hurdle, or you just like kind of drown out the people that are just negative?
I think it's, there has been skepticism about the players itself, which I think we all know, and like where they're from. But the sport, like soccer in itself, I think it's more of a, oh, I didn't know it was so big here.
Yeah.
Or that like we were successful here. And my dad was sending screenshots of like what his friends back home were saying about the show. And one of them was being like, oh my gosh, excellent show. Like I learned so much. She really hit this on the head. And like, I didn't know women's soccer was so big here. So it wasn't even like, it's more just, it's not talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Look at that. Yeah. I mean, you're changing that because now people are talking about it. So this is great. I'm curious, what did, I know, we had posted a clip about of us talking about the Philippines. What were your thoughts? Cause we're a comedy show. We're dummies and stuff like that. But, you know, we have a lot of love, when we see like, kind of inspiring things like this. What was your initial, thing? Cause I saw one of your comments was, why are y'all like this?
Jabberwocky, please. No, it was hilarious. I watched it like 3 times. It was so funny. Because, I mean, in some ways, it's like kind of what they did. And I wish I had talked about it more in the show, about who the actual scouts were that you could credit this team to. Because I mentioned the former coach. But now in hindsight, like I wish I had gone a little bit more into the scouts that were responsible for scouting, primarily in America and putting together these training camps. They had like a database of like, from what I remember in my research, like 700 Filipino Americans.
Wow.
And they were just like compiling this like,
yeah, dude.
Spreadsheet. Like, people, your point, like, I think this person's Filipino and they play soccer, like add them to the list. So your video was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's great. But that's the job. Like you literally just literally find. Because I enjoy the point of pride that Filipinos have when they find out someone is Filipino and successful. Who is the obviously the basketball player, I forgot his name, played
Jordan Clarkson,
right? And was it at Golden State that he had where did he win the title?
So he has been, I don't think he's won a title, but he's been sixth man of the year, and I think he might have been a defensive player of the year. Things I should know. Oh my god, the
yeah. Okay, oh, okay.
But he's with the Utah Jazz.
Okay. But I
and
love
he was with the Lakers before.
Okay, and I love that moment where you were describing, you know, when as soon as Filipinos find out, they're like, ah, okay, all right, we in here, he's one of us. Yeah. Like, I don't care what other percentages or whatever, like, he's ours. All
right? Exactly, like he's not black. No.
So it's great to see, and I know that a lot of, again, you were sort of joking about the comments about being the Filipino American, and maybe some people kind of take, it's like a blemish on what it means to sort of be Filipino, but in between two worlds, when you mentioned kind of all the I forgot who was it that told you that you know, not going to the Philippines or not speaking Tagalog doesn't make you any less Filipino, and it's it's a very kind of impactful statement, and I think it's a thing that a lot of children of immigrants in the United States can really kind of connect with, and the podcast is truly inspiring, and it really made me even reconnect and rethink about my childhood and even the active decisions I made. I remember from leaving high school and going to college and being like, all right, I'm in a new school. I'm going to be a different guy. I'm going to listen to merengue. I'm going to listen to bachata. I'm going to truly focus on making my bubble a little bit more Latino than it was in my previous year. So it's, think this is, this kind of, kind of captures that and stuff like that. So, Megan, this has been, so cool. Thank you so much for joining me, everybody. A reminder, go check out, Between Two Worlds. You can get it wherever you get, podcasts. And again, if you want to, deep dive or just history of not only the women's national team in the Philippines, but also the history of soccer in the Philippines, this is the show for you. So, Megan, thank you so much for joining me. Seriously, I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And I know I didn't get as loud as Alexis normally does, but I tried.
No, this worked out. I think most people would find you a worthy substitute, okay? where can people follow you on social and just keep up with you in general?
On all channels, for better or worse, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, at Meg Reyes _.
Okay. Sweet. Megan, thank you so much for joining me. Everybody tuning in, seriously, we appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode. Women's World Cup Daily. Alexis will be back. And then, you know, we'll probably be reacting to the game against the Philippines. So I'm hoping for the best. And yeah, so hopefully it's an amazing story. And, you know, we can see them in the knockout rounds. It'll be really, really dope. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. My name is Christian Polanco. That is Megan Reyes. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Peace.
Thanks, everyone.